Good morning.
Good morning.
This morning we're going to conclude, we're going to finish up this last piece here in the section called Mitzvah Achas, one mitzvah. And perhaps one goal is to understand why we have so many mitzvos. So we've been talking a lot about mitzvos in general. So obviously one answer that we have a lot of mitzvos is because we want more opportunities to connect to Hashem. But there's another idea that we can draw upon, which we'll get to in a few minutes, which brings the concept of mitzvos closer to each one of us on an individual level. But before we get to that, one thought in terms of how we fulfill one mitzvah, and that's what Rav Volbe gets to in this paragraph that we're going to get to this morning, starting with the words, V'gam ha-kolea la-halacha b'dikta ka-mitzvos. So let's try to think about a mitzvah similar to the way that we think about a person. Every human being, every person can be boiled down to two components, right? There is a physical component and there is a spiritual component. That's why I think we've talked about here. One of the dumbest things that we tell kids is that sticks and stones break bones, but names will never hurt me, which is the dumbest thing ever, because it's quite the opposite. We've had plenty of people who have inadvertently or intentionally broken our bones, and we got over it. But sometimes the names, the words, that's much more difficult to move on from. And why is that? You would think names will never hurt me, because names, but the answer is it depends how you define yourself. If you define yourself in your physical existence, then of course names won't hurt you, and only broken bones matter. But if we understand, if you were to ask somebody which of those is really the essence of a person, is it their physical makeup or is it their spiritual makeup? And a spiritual makeup means a person's thoughts, feelings, experiences. So it's obviously the spiritual makeup. That, you know, some of you are looking at me and trying to see if I'm really underneath this beard. That physical appearance will change over time. But that doesn't mean that the person is changing. A person will develop over time, and sometimes a person can transform themselves in one night. The next day, they look the same. Like the Rambam talks about in Hilchos Tshuva, you could have somebody who one day lives a certain life, and then they really decide they're going to make a change, and they become a different person. They look exactly the same as they did yesterday. That's not what the person really is. Sometimes we have people who are very special to us, and then for whatever reason, the Ribono Shel Olam created certain illnesses and ailments that you may have that person. I had this experience with my maternal grandfather, Zichron Levracha, that physically he was there, but toward the end, he wasn't really there. It wasn't really him, right? There was a shell of a person who sat there in a chair. But is that how the person is defined? The person was defined by their experiences and by their life and by their feelings and their interactions with people. And when that slipped away, really the person was gone. You know, we relate to people, as it affects their neshamas. And a neshama is just a Hebrew word to capture the spiritual dimension, which includes, of course, the psychological, emotional, all those intangible pieces of a person. And that's why you could take an eminent physician and ask him, I'm going to give you a patient. You'll cut him up into 15 pieces and sew him back together, and biologically he'll look exactly the same as he did before, but the person won't walk off the table, because as much as our physicians have incredible talents given to them by the Ribono Shel Olam and amazing insight, they can't provide a neshama to somebody. So the same way that every person has a guf and a neshama, a corporeal existence, and an eternal spark, so too, you could argue, a mitzvah has both. Every mitzvah has a guf, a body, and then it has a soul. Meaning, Every mitzvah has the physical expression of how that mitzvah is done. So when you light Shabbos candles, so then the way that you light Shabbos candles is by taking a flame and carrying that flame over to the wick. That's the physical way that you perform that mitzvah. It's an action. It's measurable. It's clearly understood by anybody who's looking. They could see what's happening there. But then there's the neshama. And the same way that in a person, our neshama is imperceptible to somebody else. Only the Ribbono Shel Olam is Yodea Talumos. He knows what happens on the inside in a person's real self. So too in a mitzvah. Only a person who's fulfilling that mitzvah really knows what's going on in their real self. It's like davening. You could be next to somebody. You could see that I'm sitting there davening. And on the outside, it looks like I might be saying the words. But on the inside, I might be in Jewel. Or I might be in Israel, or at home, or sleeping. Right? The inside, the soul of the davening, like the soul of the mitzvah, is imperceptible. Nobody can measure that on the outside. So says Rav Volbi, I'm sorry, I didn't make enough sheets this morning. I realized I didn't have enough. V'gam ha-kolel la-halacha b'dikduk ha-mitzvahs. Last time he told us that we have to be balanced. We can't be looking to get out of mitzvahs by searching for every leniency. That would be a shame, wouldn't it? He says you also have to be balanced. You can't overdo it when it comes to excessive chumras and stringencies. He says, so we're going to look for the exact right balance. He says, nonetheless, even if you've got the exact right balance, adayin, nonetheless, eino bichlal, he is not, and she is not, within the defined category of ose mitzvah kema'amara, doing a mitzvah the way that it was told. Why not? He says, Shizuhi, that is Madrega Rama, a high level, Bitaras Hamachshava, of purity of thought, of the intent, of the way that you think about the mitzvah. Meaning, we could learn all the halachos of every mitzvah. We can learn all the particular halachos of matzah, of how to bake the matzahs, how to make sure that it doesn't become chametz, and how to make sure that the matzah is full, and it's all the different details. You can figure everything out about matzah, and then you can sit down to eat the matzah. That's fine. But eating the matzah, that's just the guf. That's just the outward manifestation of the mitzvah. Then there's the thought, the feeling. Sometimes when we eat matzah, I don't want to say it's not so delicious, but maybe it's a struggle to love eating matzah. There are people who love matzah. I don't understand them, but there are people who love matzah. They eat matzah all year round. So for them, maybe they're going to be more, and we'll see in a second why this is important, they're going to be more excited about achilas matzah. But the truth is, of course, eating matzah is not about whether you like the taste of matzah. It has to do with the feeling and the experience of connecting to Hashem through this action that brings us back, touches us to that timeless energy of Yetzias Mitzrayim, which exists in our lives all the time. So he says that Asher Amesilas Yishar Mevar Osa Beperek Tazayim Bevir Midas Atara. He says that is what a real mitzvah looks like. So that's pretty much a wow high bar to set for all of us, which is why the next point that he's going to make is very important. So the idea that every mitzvah has an external manifestation and an internal, it has what maybe you would call the late Professor Tversky, Professor Isidore Tversky has an essay. I don't remember what the essay is called. But he has an essay where he talks about two concepts. He also moonlighted as a Chassidish Rebbe in addition to being a professor in Harvard. It was called religion in manifestation and religion in essence. Those are two words, two phrases that capture the same idea of the outside experience that you can measure and then the internal spiritual personal experience. So if that's what we're looking for, so we could start to understand how this is going to be different from person to person in everybody's life. And now he takes us to a comment of the Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnayos, the end of Maseches Makos, which is very important. Let's step back for a second so we can appreciate what the Rambam is going to tell us here. The Rambam, well, let's start with this. When did the Rambam live? Any guesses? What's that? Very good. 12th century. Thank you. This is important. I've started doing this to my own children because a lot of times Moshe Ben Maimon and Moshe Feinstein seem to live at the same time. And they do live at the same time in our world. And the way that we learn, they're both alive on the page. But it is important to understand that Moshe Ben Maimon lived in the 12th century and Moshe Feinstein lived in the 20th century. So the Rambam, the easiest way to remember the Rambam, is one of the most important figures you have to remember. He lived just less than a half hour. He lived from 1135 till 1204. That's the easiest way to remember it. The Rambam, his father was a big Talmud Chacham. His name was Maimon. His father studied under the Rimi Gash, one of the important Sephardic luminaries. He was born in Cordova. His family had to run away from Cordova because of there was a rabid anti-Semitic Muslim group called the Almohads, an Islamic fanatic group. Hard to believe there were such things back in the 12th century. Even though the Rambam, at that time, many of the kind of the moderate Muslim communities were very favorably disposed to Jews previous to that point. It was only then that the Christians are going to take over. They're going to dominate the Iberian Peninsula. Things are going to go really sour. But until this point, the 10th, 11th centuries, that was a beautiful time to be an observant, God-fearing Jew in Muslim Spain. But this one small sect came up from Morocco and they started kind of creeping into the bottom of Spain. So the Rambam's family had to leave. He went to Morocco, ironically. He went to Fez, and then they stayed. After 5 years, they had to run away from there. The Rambam ran east to Israel, but didn't stay there for very long. And then he went to Egypt, where he settled in Fostat, and he became a physician. He became a physician, a practicing physician, because he had a brother who was a very successful merchant. His brother David, who supported him, and the Rambam wrote many works, as we'll talk about in a second. But his brother drowned in an accident at sea, and his fortune was lost. And the Rambam was terribly depressed after this. The Rambam was a broken man. He lost his brother. He lost his whole life. His brother was very close to him and also was involved in supporting him. The Rambam describes how he was, I guess he self-described as he was, I guess we would say today, clinically depressed with a capital D. He was really not functional. And then he pulled himself together. He became a physician and he accomplished, I don't want to say more than most, but he accomplished more than most Jews over the last millennium. So the Rambam, before he set out to write his very enormous, most important work, which is in the back shelf there, called the Mishneh Torah, which is the Rambam's 14 books collecting all of Torah learning. And the Rambam tells you, all you need to know is the Tanakh and my book, you're good. That's a pretty bold statement for somebody to make. But when he was younger, when he was a teenager, the Rambam wrote a pirush on all the Mishnayos. What else would you do if you were a teenager and you were Maimonides? You'd write a commentary on all the Mishnayos. So that itself is a very interesting work, the Pirush HaMishnayos of the Rambam. And some of those rulings that the Rambam paskened earlier in his life changed. He reversed course later when he's put together and into the Yad HaChazaka. But today we're going to focus on one teaching, and this appears in the Pirush HaMishnayos. The Pirush HaMishnayos in, of course, it differs from the Yad HaChazaka, which is a halachic work. It's a compendium, a primary source that doesn't go with anything else. The Pirush HaMishnayos is a commentary on the Mishnah, but the Pirush HaMishnayos also includes a lot of other philosophical or machshava ideas that the Rambam wants to put out there that you should know. Like the Rambam talks about the introduction, talks about the development of the oral tradition, and he has a very lengthy introduction to Pirkei Avos about ethics, and there are a lot of important Jewish ideas that appear more in the Pirush HaMishnayos in various places than they do in the Yad HaChazaka, because the Yad HaChazaka is primarily a halachic work. There is some philosophy in there. There is some thought in terms of Jewish thought, but this piece appears in the Pirush HaMishnayos. Of course, the Rambam's major philosophical work is the Guide to the Perplexed, the Mor Nevuchim, which was a highly controversial work at that time. So, says Rav Volbi, quotes this Rambam, Bo re'e, come and see, Eizo mida shel shleimus mechila mitzvah achas. How much wholeness is included in one mitzvah. Kos of a Rambam Pirush Mishnayos Shelimakos. The Rambam writes in the Pirush Mishnah, it's the end of Maseches Makos. What Mishnah is the Rambam commenting on? The Mishnah says in the end of Maseches Makos, and some of you are familiar with this Mishnah, Ratzah HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lizakos Es Yisrael, God wanted to give us merit. Lefichach, therefore, here Balahem Torah U'mitzvos, it's not on your page. Therefore, God, He multiplied. There are tons and tons of mitzvos. Shenemar Hashem Chafetz Leman Tzidko Yagdil Torah V'Yadir. Some of you have heard that Mishnah. Oftentimes that Mishnah, sometimes if you go to a lecture and they want to have somebody for some reason wants to recite the Rabbi's Kaddish, so you recite the Rabbi's Kaddish after learning a piece of Torah. So oftentimes that's the Mishnah that they'll learn. It's not an incantation because people will rattle it off. It's a Mishnah. That's the Mishnah at the way end of Maseches of Tractate Makos. And it says simply that God did us a favor and He wanted us to have lots of merit, so He gave us lots of mitzvos. Which, in light of everything that we've said about mitzvos until now, makes perfect sense. The more mitzvos, the more opportunities to connect to God, to bring it into your life on a daily basis. Great. But the Rambam now adds something, and the Rambam doesn't tell you the source. I don't know what the source is for this Rambam. The Rambam was not a Kabbalist, but the Rambam often did not disclose his sources. Even in the Yad HaZakah, which is his massive halachic work, one of the critiques was, you didn't tell us what you're basing your rulings on. So it's difficult to measure something if you don't know what the source is, so you can't really compare it against. So what you have to do is, the great sages over the last 800 years, have studied all of Shas, Bavli, and all of the Yerushalmi, and all the Medrash, and then you figure out what the Rambam is saying. So the Rambam says the following, in the indent paragraph here, and I'll read it out for those who don't have the sheets, don't worry. Me'ikare ho'emuna b'Torah. The Rambam tells you this is from the basic elements of belief, of faith, in our Torah, which is already interesting, because as we know, the Rambam formulated basic tenets of faith that we call the 13 animamins. Those basic 13 principles are the Rambam's principles. This one doesn't appear there. So it's not, I guess, one of the core animamins, but the Rambam thinks that it's important enough to call it a fundamental principle. Key, that, kishiyakayim adam mitzvah mitaryag mitzvos karoy v'chahogen, when a person will fulfill one of the 613 mitzvos appropriately, exactly the way that it's supposed to be done, and v'lo yeshatif ima kavana mikavanas ha'olam b'shum panim, and the person does not, shituf means to partner, a person doesn't introduce any other intent, any other motivation, because sometimes we do mitzvos for different motivations. We do them because we want to look good, we want to fit in socially, we want to, we want to make money, we want to make ourselves feel good, whatever the reason is. The Rambam says, b'shum panim, there's no ulterior motive at all whatsoever. A person does it wholeheartedly. Ella, but, she'yasa osa lishma me'ava, a person fulfills it out of a sense of love, k'moshe b'yarti l'cha. What does the Rambam mean, k'moshe b'yarti l'cha? Well, we know, the Rambam tells us in the Yad HaZakah, there is a mitzvah to love Hashem, to connect to godliness. So if a person is searching for ways to connect to godliness, so mitzvahs are a layup. That's a great place to start. So the Rambam says, if you look at this mitzvah as a way to connect to God, and do it with so much feeling and with so much love, and by the way, that's why even though a mitzvah may take effort, it's done out of a sense of joy. You ever see someone, I don't know if this is a problem, because this mashal, I don't know how much this is going to translate for some. You ever see somebody come back from a football game, playing football, and they're totally verschwitzt? You know, maybe sometimes it's our kids or ourselves. You come back, you're totally covered in mud, and you're verschwitzt. You filthy, stink, you're exhausted. You walk in the door, you're like, oh, that was so great. Right? You ever have that? I guess for those who play football in the mud. I haven't done it in a while. But that idea, so you say, if someone were an onlooker, they would say, I'm a sugar to gvain. The guy's so happy that he stinks, he's covered in mud, and he's exhausted, he can't move a single muscle. No, but I really had a great time. Right? if we appreciated mitzvahs in that way, even the mitzvahs that were hard, we'd be sweating, you know, we're cleaning for Pesach, we're doing the beer chametz, we'd be like, ah, oh, this is the best. This is the best. This is like, you know, I'm having a great time. It depends how you look at it. If you look at it that it's a labor of love, then sweating is not so bad. People who enjoy what they're doing, there are some people in this room who like the outdoors, for example. They like sleeping outside in a chvesa tent with all kinds of, you know, the kinds of behemoths that are running around over there, wild animals, and then flies and all kinds of things. I'm not masik this. But there are some people, you ask them, where are you going? They say, I'm going to sleep outside. Do you have a house? Yeah, we have a beautiful house that has air conditioning. So why are you going? Because it's fun, right? It's fun. Some people think that's fun. Other people look at it and they say, wow, you couldn't pay me enough money to do that. Isn't that the same way that people look at mitzvahs? Some people look at mitzvahs and they say, you couldn't pay me enough to experience Pesach. And that's a very sad way to look at it. Or some people would say, I look forward a whole year to make Pesach. I look forward a whole year to sleep outside in a tent with my family and get bitten up by the mosquitoes. That's some people, they look forward to it a whole year. That's, so now the Rambam says, if you have the full spirit of Ahava, the Ahavas HaMitzvos, and you love what you're doing, one mitzvah, the Rambam says, Hine, Zacha ba l'chai ha'olam haba. All you got to do, says the Rambam, is one mitzvah. And that is your golden ticket to Olam Haba, to eternal life in the world to come. One mitzvah. So therefore, the Rambam says, based on this, I understand why there are so many. Va'al ze'om Reb Chanina. This is why Reb Chanina said, ki ha-mitzvos bi-yosam harbe. There are tons of mitzvahs, and they're very diverse. You gotta find one. Through the course of your life, the Rambam says, you'll definitely find one that you really love, that really resonates with you, and you'll do it belev shalem, with so much islavos. There's no way shelo yasa adam b'chayav achas mehen al maskunta ushle musa. And ubasosa osa ha-mitzvah, tiyanafsho ba'oso ma'isa. You're going to be all in that one mitzvah. Yeah.
What year was Rav Volbe?
So he's writing this in the 1960s.
Uh-huh. Is he still alive?
No, he died about 10 years ago. But this teaching of the Rambam, everybody needs to know this. Because we shouldn't be depressed if not every mitzvah is our mitzvah. We're going to do them all, and we're going to try to aspire. But for those of us who see, let's say, playing a sport that's, you know, very sweaty, and sleeping outside in a tent with mosquitoes, some people who don't see those as congruous, so one of us might gravitate more to one and gravitate to the other. Now, we're going to do them all, because they're each a way to connect to the Ribbono Shel, and we're going to try and strive throughout our life to find how we're going to connect to that one mitzvah that we haven't connected to before. It's a challenge. But then the Rambam says, you know why there are tons of mitzvahs? Because everybody here, we all have a mitzvah that we look forward to it. It's our thing. You know, for some people, it's Gemilas Chasadim, it's Hachnasas Orchim. They'll share their toothbrush with their guests. Whatever it takes, they love Hachnasas Orchim. And when that mitzvah comes, that's mamish their mitzvah. It's their thing. They'll do them all. But if you know them, you know that's their mitzvah. And then you have people who do, they got Bikur Cholim, and they have Kabbalah Shabbos, and whatever it is. But what the Rambam is telling us now, says Rav Volbe, is understanding the power of just one mitzvah. And that's the reason why there are so many, because with just one mitzvah, we have earned our special place in the world to come. L'netzach netzachim. Yeah.
So, is either the Rambam or Rambam saying that you don't get your get a scar if you're spiritually, if you're not, if you're doing the mitzvah but you're only doing the physical aspect of it and your mind is not necessarily there? Is that saying that you're not getting the scar, or that we don't know what that scar is? Or, I mean, what's the benefit? Just obviously because we're commanded to do the mitzvah, but how do you explain to someone who really needs that cost benefit relationship of doing mitzvah, if
so, great. So, it's not, I would say like this, it's not binary. There's a continuum. And if our connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is about a relationship, so it's reflected in the same way. So, for example, there are certain mitzvahs that I have to do at home because I have relationships with people in my house. Some of them I do with greater hislavus and love and excitement. And some I do not so much love, but I have to do them whether I like it or not, because that's part of being committed to a relationship. So, you know, how much credit do I get when someone asks me, who lives in my house, who is packing and doing a yeoman's job of doing a lot of things in our house, who asked me yesterday to please schlep such and such a thing from the basement out to the curb? So if I'm really focused on what the Rebbe Shlomo wants me, I should be jumping up for joy saying, I cannot wait to schlep this bag out to the curb right now. But if I'm overtired and cranky and I say, fine, I'll schlep it to the curb. So do I get some schar? I definitely get some schar because she didn't have to schlep it. I did schlep it. But do I get the full schar? I get schar. But that's, nobody would say, the person who asked me to do that wouldn't say, ah, she really feels like I'm understanding how much work she's doing and I probably should have a little bit better attitude about schlepping this bag, this one bag, out to the trash can when I walked in the door. So when it's about a relationship, there are strata. You know, you can do a mitzvah that has some kavanah. You can have it do a mitzvah that has a lot of kavanah. And every mitzvah is important. And every shlav, every step that we take, you know, because then we might go back to that person, going back to the analogy of the relationship, and say, look, you know, this thing that you asked me to do is very difficult. I'm going to do it because I love you and I care about you. And if it's important to you, it's important to me. But if we're going to go visit Aunt so-and-so, you should just know that's not my easiest thing to do. And when you have a relationship, that person will get that. And say, you know what? I really appreciate that you're going with me to meet Aunt so-and-so. And the less you complain about it, the better that person feels. So sometimes we say to the Rebbeinu Shalom, look, this mitzvah, I know it's important, and I know it's good for me, but it's hard. It's hard. The Rebbeinu Shalom, I suspect, knows, because he created each one of us with each one of our challenges, he knows which one of us, patience wasn't necessarily their greatest endowment at birth, if you know what I'm saying. So when he gives us challenging situations, we say to the Rebbeinu Shalom, look, we're committed to doing the best that we can, and this is one of the mitzvahs that we have to work on. And we're going to work on it because it's important to me. It's important to you when we're in a relationship. And if we're not perfect this time, that's okay. We're going to work on it. I think that's one part of it. So mitzvahs in general, every mitzvah we got to do, and we got to work on them because they're part of building our overall relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But then there is that one mitzvah, that one thing, that one part of the relationship that everybody who knows this person knows that's their thing. So for some people in a relationship, that might be, well, every Sunday morning, this person goes to Walgreens and buys the newspaper because the person who is receiving it, they really love it and they get so much hana out of reading that newspaper. And that's like a special thing that they do that connects them. So mitzvahs are of both kinds. And what the Rambam is telling us is that there are all mitzvos, and we're going to work on developing all of those connections to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But then we should realize that even one mitzvah, we shouldn't be discouraged and say, look, we have so many mitzvahs and there's so much work to do in each one of them. The Rambam might say, look, think about ourselves and what is it that we really connect to so that we can totally perfect that one mitzvah and take it with us. Does that answer the question in some way? So, yeah.
Shouldn't the schar actually be greater if it's a mitzvah that you have a hard time doing because you're doing it in spite of the fact that it's so counterintuitive and so difficult for you?
Absolutely. That's one of the famous teachings in Pirkei Avos, that lufum tsa'ara agra, the more difficult it is, the more merit you get. It's like when you go on the treadmill, when you raise the incline from 2 to 8.5, so then you burn more calories. And that is calibrated. That's why no one has the same cheshbon, the same relationship, the same kind of connection to the Ribbono Shel Olam that somebody else does, because everybody has a different situation, a different set of circumstances, but also a different set of strengths and challenges. So each one of us need to think about ourselves, and this is something that Rav Volpe spoke about weeks ago, about the idea of self-awareness in the observance of mitzvos. We need to get to know ourselves. We need to get to know which mitzvos come easier to us, which ones are more challenging. We need to make sure to invest energy in the challenging ones, but we also should celebrate those ones that we do perfectly, because the ones, if we could just find that one, it doesn't mean, as right, I don't want to be misunderstood, it doesn't mean that if you do one mitzvah perfectly, then you can forget about all the rest, and that there's no schar for any mitzvahs that we don't do correctly. Of course we get schar for all the mitzvahs that we do, even on the most basic level, even when we do them, God forbid, begrudgingly. The same way, if I take out that bag in a sour attitude, at least I took it out. So at least I get credit for that. But the ideal is to keep growing in our observance of mitzvahs so that we can develop the soul of each mitzvah also, the connection and the feeling and the love for those mitzvahs. Have a great week. Thanks for coming.